Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
You know, Dan, being a mom, well, I know you're not a mom, but
being a mom and
the CEO of a major company is hard. Christine Crawford is with us today. She does both, and she talks about it with us. Christine, welcome to the program. Christina.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be with you guys so I can talk about my entrepreneur journey, the challenges, the woes, the ups, the downs, all the good stuff and bad stuff.
Well, first, I love the name of your company, Bubble Pop Beauty. What's that all about, and what's your website?
Well, my website is www.bubblepopbeauty.com, and I have an 8-year-old daughter that came home from school one day and wanted to sell something. From there, we had a conversation which transpired to her saying, I want to sell something that makes people feel beautiful. So later, probably about a week or two later, I met a chemist, had a conversation, and started formulating a beauty product line for skin and body. And so we have three major products, and we'll come up with the products later in the year as well as 2018. But based off of that conversation with my 8-year-old, I started a company. And that company teaches women that they should pop the bubble and define who they are. And it really was a testament to my daughter for helping me start a company. And it's a teachable moment in that I could show her, pop the bubble, define who you want to be, and go after your dreams.
So how long have you been in business?
We've been in business for a year, so we have a 1-year anniversary that'll be coming up in the next couple of months, so we're excited.
Well, let me ask you a question. How does having a 9-year-old granddaughter, how does an 8-year-old girl, obviously from a very outgoing and dynamic mother, how does she come home and say, she sits across the kitchen table with you and says, Mom, I want to sell something. Where did that come from?
I think, you know, when you have kids, it's exposure. I think it's exposure to different things such as business, such as parents, such as opportunities. I always say that my 8-year-old is 8 going on like 65 because she's an old little lady with a very mature soul. But she, you know, my husband and I have made sure that she travels a lot. We've taken her to a lot of shows. We've exposed her to a lot. She knows that her dad works at home. And so we have conversations. And I think just being in certain environments has taught her about money, about business, about that things aren't free and that toys have to be paid for. So they're life lessons, and I think as they mature, they start to see different things that open up their level of exposure.
Christina, I have to ask you a follow-up to that question. Where did you get that value proposition? Because clearly she sees it in you and your husband, so you got it from someone else. Who did you get it from?
I always say my inspiration was my mother. My mother was a single mother and had a very, very strong work ethic that she instilled in my brother and I. And so that has always followed me through my life. And so I think everyone has fears, and my fear has always been the fear of being poor, not having enough money to pay for food or shelter. And so that is one of the fears that I've had to overcome. And so I've worked very hard, sometimes working 2 and 3 jobs, just to say, okay, I need to have a certain amount saved. I need to have investments. I need to have a retirement fund. Because I grew up in Washington, D.C., And a lot of times we were raised that you went and worked for the government and then you got your retirement after 30 years. Well, it's a little different now. So a work ethic has been instilled in me from day one.
When you talk to your daughter about what did you do before you started Bubble Pop? What were you doing that inspired her?
Well, for me, so education has been important. I got my undergraduate from New York University and then went and got my master's from Florida Institute of Technology. That has led me to have a career in marketing prior to going on this entrepreneurship journey. So I spent the last 10 years doing retail marketing from public supermarkets to a property management company called Westfield, which is based in Los Angeles. They have a lot of malls. Then I did smaller businesses for natural hair care companies. So I dibbled and dabbled in marketing for like the last 10 years and then decided to take a journey and start my own business.
But when you think about that decision to go out on your own, for a lot of people, it's a very scary and such a scary decision they decide not to do it. What happened in your life that you decided now was the time to me to become an entrepreneur?
I think when you have a 9-year-old or 8-year-old rather looking at you and saying, okay, mommy, I want to do this, and I see you doing it, I think it puts a lot more pressure on you. Like, you have a lot of pressure to say, okay, I have to show her that we can accomplish this and that we can set out and we can make a viable business. And I think that pressure or that little person looking up to you says, okay, let's go for it. Because entrepreneurship is terrifying. It is one of those things that you embark on and then you get in it and you're like, oh, what was I thinking? And there are good days and there are bad days. But I think she is my motivation.
Entrepreneurs can be the most insecure people in the world. But
they
can also be the most exciting. And also could be the most exciting people. So you decided that it was going to be cosmetics.
Yes, I did.
Because of what reason? How did you pick? It's got to be an incredibly competitive business.
It is. It's extremely competitive. When I sat down and we started talking about formulations and different products, we wanted to look at products that differentiated us that weren't really on the market. So when I started formulating with the chemist, we talked about certain things that women go through. And so we built the company based on a simple premise of simple solutions to everyday problems. So a lot of my friends would have, like, you know, they would have a big meeting or girlfriend would have a date. And they would have like a pimple, or a breakout or something. And so we created an acne cream that gets rid of pimples within 24 to 48 hours. And then we looked at other problems that we all were going through as women. And it was like we stayed up late. Like if we were doing, you know, finals when we were getting our MBAs, or if we had a presentation the next day, or if we just stayed up late because we had to catch up on stuff because we're busy being moms every day. We decided to go with the pick-me-up cream, and what it does is it pumps collagen and blood and all that good stuff into the skin and face so that it gets rid of that tired feeling. So if you've had less than 6 hours of sleep, I would say get the pick-me-up cream. It's incredible.
Now, are you working to a particular segment of the female market? Are you working for professionals, older women, younger women? Emerging, black, white, Asian, what?
So we were very strategic in how we rolled out. I think when you start your business, you need to have a very key focus on the people that you want to go for. So our core demographic are women that are looking to solve simple solutions to everyday products. We're always on the go. So these solutions can be done quickly, effectively, and efficiently. And so we look at women between the ages of 18 to about 36. And, of course, we skew a little bit older at times, who are just looking for great products moderately priced that work and that solve a problem in their life. So, you know, a lot of times we just want things that are going to work for us and that can be done very quickly because we're always moving.
So where do you where do you sell in retail shops? Do you sell over the internet or both? How do you distribute your product?
So we are e-commerce based. Looking at trends, e-commerce is the way to go. When we looked at the business and came up with the business plan, we saw that retail was declining. And so we've put all of our efforts in growing our website. And so we'll stay e-commerce for a very long time, and I think that'll be the way that we'll keep the business structured.
When you made the decision that the retail business, and probably it was a very keen decision because retail is really falling apart. The big box stores are closing. Specialty retailers are closing thousands upon thousands of branches all over the country, going out of business. Again, you have a problem of accessibility with so much, virtually so much to choose from on the internet. How have you differentiated yourself in your internet marketing?
So for me, it's been a learning experience. It's a learning curve because e-commerce was not a strong background for me. And so what I did was I had to take a lot of online classes. So I took a lot of social media training. I took a lot of digital marketer web series. And so you're looking at setting up sales funnels, retargeting. How do you do email marketing, campaign marketing? How do you drive numbers to your website? And, you know, you look at bloggers and collaborations. And so we have dibbled and dabbled. And so what we're coming up with formulas that are working for us and really driving our message and really targeting our key consumers that are visiting our social media sites and looking at insights. I think the great thing about Facebook and Instagram is that you're able to see who's on your pages, and you're able to see when they're on those pages. And then we, of course, set up different marketing campaigns through email, and then we have a very strong blog series that we do. So and then in the next month we'll have a sales funnel, and so that has been very key points in how we drive consumers to our website and then re-engage them back.
So I have I got one more question, then I'm going to turn it over to Don. When did you get your master's degree?
I got my master's degree in 2013, and
okay.
I got it in marketing. Yeah.
Okay. So with that answer, it leads me to the question I wanted to ask. In the amount of time that you spent in college in beginning the foundation for your dreams, how much time did the college or coursework did the college offer you in using the internet as a marketing tool? All the things that you had to go out and get on your own, none of it was taught in college?
No, it really wasn't. They look at in college for me, they looked at the fundamentals. It was like, you know, these are the fundamentals of business. These are the principles and the foundation. But the day-to-day stuff was not taught in college. It's stuff that you pick up through experience, pick up through other people, pick up through books, learning, just being in different environments, work environments. Learning just the fundamentals of everything that needs to be done from an operational standpoint. So I can say that college taught me a good foundation about studying. It taught me how to interact with different people from across the country and world. And then it taught me a foundation in reading and learning the principles of certain things and systems. But the stuff that I do on a day-to-day basis, I do because I've learned from other people, from books, web series.
Okay. Don?
Well, both of us have a lot of questions for Christina, but they'll have to wait until we hear a word from our sponsors.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
We're here with Christina Crawford. We're talking about her company, We're talking about how her 8-year-old came home and they ended up with a company. But I'm going to ask a far different question. You talk about, Christina, the various campaigns that you had in social media, which work. Can you go into a little bit of detail about which campaigns you felt worked and which things you did that didn't work?
Definitely. I think for me, the strongest aspect was building an email list and sending out continual email blasts to our subscribers on information that they wanted to know about. So we do a very strong blog about various things that millennials will go through, from careers to fashion to wearing the right color lipstick. And so that has driven a lot of traffic to our website through our email subscribers and sending those newsletters out. Secondly, what we did was we did lead ads on Facebook. So, you know, for instance, learn the secrets to beauty or skincare would be the ad. And then in order to see the article, you would have to enter your email address. And those are called lead ads. And they have worked very well in building our email list, which helped us to launch those campaigns to drive traffic to the website. And I think those have been the strongest marketing tools for us thus far. And then in terms of social media, we've used the hashtags. We're trying to grow our numbers. And sometimes it just doesn't work. You're like, what is the secret? Because you'll go to other social media pages, and they'll have like 200,000 followers. And then you're trying to grow your social media numbers, and you're posting, and your page looks really great, and you're using hashtags. And sometimes you're just not getting the traffic that you want. And so what we looked at are doing collaborations, a lot of collaborations with brand influencers, and picking the right people that produce the right content is very key.
Well, I'm going to go zig for a little bit, then maybe Dan will go back and zag the other way. But how do you get your products produced? Do you contract? And what have you learned from that?
So it's been a learning experience for me. So for the process, we have a chemist that formulates. Based off of that formulation, and once they're approved, then what you want to do is you want to find a manufacturer that will manufacture it for you. And so we have a manufacturing facility based in Texas, and that's where a lot of our products come out of. And so once you have that, you have your components, which are the products of what the products are featured in, your packaging, your labeling. You're ready to go. You're ready to sell. And then, you know, you can set up a fulfillment center that will fulfill your e-commerce orders for you, or you could just do it from home, just depending on how large you are and how you're able to scale your business.
Are you profitable to this point?
Let me be very honest. For the first 3 months, it was like, what have I done? I've just poured my money, everything into this business, and I'm not seeing profits. And so it freaks you out because it's like, what do I do? So what you do is you stay calm, you breathe. You look at what you're doing right, you look at what you're doing wrong, and then you just readjust. The great thing about being a small business is that you have the ability to adjust as need be because you're still nimble versus bigger corporations that have lots of layers. And so what we looked at was, okay, we need to drive traffic. Maybe our website isn't giving us the right information. Where are we missing the mark? And so from that evaluation, we reformulated. And so I'm happy to say 6 months later, we are profitable.
And what are the two factors that made you profitable in your eyes?
I think it was website. I think it was building trust. A lot of times with e-commerce, you'll get a lot of visitors or a lot of repeat visitors, new users. But there's a level of trust that they're not trusting you. They're not saying, okay, I want to purchase from this business. And so what we looked at was the messaging, the layout, the system that we were using. So we changed platforms. We changed graphics. We added more video content. By that time, we had also had a lot more media hits and media articles and features, which we were able people to put on the website, as well as we had reviews. So we were able to build that trust so that when you went to the website, consumers were like, okay, this is a viable business. This is not something that's homemade, so I can trust them. And that's very key, especially in the e-commerce space.
I'll turn it back to Dan now.
Thank you. So I want to go back to your issue of deciding how you wanted to do something. Your daughter came home, said she wanted to sell something. She didn't say to you, Mom, let's go create this. She said, I want to sell something. So why did you pick the segment of women's cosmetics?
So once she had that conversation with me, let's sell something, it's like, well, what should we sell? So then this is me asking her, like having a conversation, well, what should we sell? And so digging deeper, she was like, we should sell something that's pretty. And I'm like, okay, we should sell something that's pretty. But what do you mean by pretty? She's like, something that makes people feel beautiful. And so, you know, we stepped away from the conversation. I came back and I said, well, what about hair products? And she's like, no. I said, what do you think about mommy doing skincare line and body products? She was like, I like that. I said, we could do really great products. And she's like, I like that. She's like, I like that idea. I think you should do that. So then it became, you should do that and show me how to do it. And so that's where the brainstorming session went. It wasn't as sophisticated as maybe some corporations, or it wasn't a fancy story or a lot of consumers that we surveyed. It was, I like that idea. You should go and do that. And it's like, okay. And so when you sit down with the chemist and you start to talk about what products you want and how you want to formulate, it begins to produce other ideas. And so mm-hmm. then you look at how do you differentiate from other things that are on the market, and what is your strong premise, and who are you going after, and does it answer the question of a need? And if not, how can you convey that this is a need? So there were a lot of different mm-hmm. questions, but that's where we ultimately ended up, and we've been very, very happy that we chose that path.
Now, is she involved in the business?
She is. So, but the conversations that we have might not be sophisticated as you and I may have, but they're still great conversations and great levels of exposure. And it's just on a different level. So, you know, when it came to time for colors, okay, well, what color scheme do you think we should go with? And then I gave her different options. You know, which ones do you think mommy should pick? And what do you think about this packaging versus that packaging? So it's more like, okay, where is your eye going? This is the process that I've had to set up. And then, you know, from a creative standpoint, she's very creative. So she's helped me pinpoint and narrow down certain things. And then we have conversations about budgets and how do I pay for stuff and how do I get it done? And that's been very key for her.
I find it absolutely amazing that we're talking about an 8-year-old child who, and I don't mean any disrespect, it's actually more than that, it's admiration. The courage that it must have taken to say, my 8-year-old daughter is my entire marketing research department. And that's basically, you're using her as a test panel of one, and she's been giving you advice and counsel and direction of a product and what to do. I mean, that's an enormous amount of trust on your part and an amazing amount of talent on her part.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you can do, I think for us, is that we have a level of communication between us. And even though the business ultimately belongs to me and, you know, it's my funding, it was initially her idea to sell something. And I think you have to give her credit for that. And I think when she makes decisions that are not necessarily where you would go, you kind of just say, okay, why? You have to ask the questions why. And I think, you know, with kids nowadays, the demands are a lot higher. You know, in Georgia, where we are based, kids are coming out of kindergarten having to read at a certain level. They're doing word problems in third grade. So the level of what's expected is different. And their level of exposure in terms of technology, the internet, and what they see on YouTube, it exposes them to a lot of good. And then as parents, you have to moderate the bad. And I think with me having a background in marketing and looking at trends and also doing my own research, it helps. It helps to have the conversation and helps to get that creative from her as well.
Dan, you get to Dan, you get to ask the last question because unfortunately time is getting short.
You know, time is flying very rapidly with an entertaining guest like this. So what does the future look like for you and your daughter?
Oh, the future is endless. It's the possibilities and where the product line and how we'll develop will continue to grow. In 2018, we'll continue to extend the line. We'll do a body collection of organic scrubs, mini scrubs, essential oils. We'll look at adding different facial products to our mix and really coming up with regimens and really driving home this is the skincare line that can help you solve those everyday problems that you're encountering. So we're really excited. We're really excited about the future of the company. We're really excited about what we're putting out and the message that we're sending to women that define who you are, become who you want to be, and anything is possible. And for all my entrepreneurs listening, I want to say, go for it. My biggest mistake was that I waited. Don't let fear stop you. The fear of failure and the fear of success will paralyze people. Fight past whatever you're going through and do it.
Your website again?
It's www.bubblepopbeauty.com, and you can always follow us on social media at Bubble Pop Beauty.
Christina? Thank you so much for being our guest. I know Dan's in a little bit of awe, and so am I, in what you and your daughter have accomplished. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was great speaking to both of you.
Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Our next guest is Tim Stanley. He's founder and CEO of CarePoint, a very unusual company that I'm going to let him tell you all about. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much. Great to be here.
Well, it's great that you're coming. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about CarePoint, and where people can find out more.
Sure, happy to. So CarePoint is what we call a first-of-its-kind health and wellness-focused rewards program, and it's also a platform and network, and I'll describe that a little bit more. And the whole idea is not unlike just about every other element of our life, whether you love travel or dealing with your bank or retail and shopping, you know, you're generally rewarded for all sorts of different activities, behaviors, promotions, and things like that. Healthcare, despite being one of the largest things that we invest in, and frankly, it's getting more costly for individuals and small businesses every day, despite all that spend, there's really nothing terribly rewarding around it. In fact, it's getting more and more challenging, I think, as time goes on with, you know, not only getting in to see the doctor, but taking care of things, and then for the amount of money we spend either on our insurance or all of different stuff, not a whole lot that you're getting back for that. So CarePoint was designed and created from scratch to go and solve that problem directly and to do it from a consumer's perspective. How do we actually make it interesting, compelling, and rewarding for you to engage in all the different elements of your healthcare experience and actually get some benefits and rewards out of that and be able to use them for all the different kinds of things you'd like to, as well as the things you probably should do. So that's a little bit about the company.
Now tell them the website, which has an unusual spelling.
It is. So CarePoint, spelled CarePoint, and a little carrot at the end, which is pointing. People would ask me why and the CarePoint. Really two reasons. They're, as we're a consumer-focused company, but we really provide our solutions to businesses, small businesses, enterprises, payers, insurance companies, your doctor. We wanted something that's a little more memorable and catchy in there. And Point, not unlike things in Lyft and others, really kind of has an appeal from a consumer. It's a little more memorable, and if you actually search for it, you'll find it a little bit easier than just sort of the traditional POINT. So that's kind of the genesis of it. You'll see a little heart in the O, and our logo also indicates the different areas that we focus on.
Now I'll turn it over to Dan. I'm sure he has several questions, as I do.
So you're telling me that when I go to my doctor to get a colonoscopy, he's going to give me reward points.
Love that example, and it's one of my favorite stories and use cases. Because, I mean, who looks forward to that experience, right? So right. The answer is yes. And why? Well, without obviously divulging or knowing anybody's age on this call, there's a certain time in our life when we probably should get those done. And I think none of us look forward to it. Frankly, the prep is just about as bad, if not worse, than the experience itself. So the idea here is that let's say that your physician would like to recommend or refer somebody to you to go do that. In my case, I'm always like, well, why do you recommend that person or that person? So I might want to go online and check out some reviews and what other people think about that particular location or service to do it. So you can do that with CarePoint. Secondly is scheduling that appointment is again, something we don't too much look forward to. But if I do it, I might actually get rewarded points for showing up and even showing up on time. That's something you might definitely want to be late for, right? They tend to do them early in the morning, which is awful for night owls like me. And then actually I go through that. There's some prep you have to do in advance. So you might actually get an offer and incentive to go get or pick out those things at your favorite CVS store or whatever else. And those cost you some money. So there might be a coupon or a discount, or you can use your care points for actually purchasing that prep material. You go, you get your appointment, you get results. Hopefully everything's all great. You've got it, and you've actually earned some care points that you can use for something you would enjoy probably a lot more. Maybe it's a massage. Maybe it's something you wanted to kind of buy as a healthy food or treat afterwards and the like. And that's what CarePoint helps you do. So that's exactly one of my favorite favorite examples when we started the company.
Well, let me give you another example. How about we get triple points if the doctor's late for the appointment?
Aha. That is a great that's a great one. One of the challenges, so for instance, let's take a dentist or a typical one. In dental appointments, because I know you have a big audience of small business owners, of which, most dentists actually are one, two, maybe three doctors in there. One of the things that really actually hurts their business and is real challenging is when people, again, like me, you don't show up for an appointment. And if you've had that dentist experience, and doctors are getting a little better at this, they'll say, great, can I see you again on such and such date 6 months out? And we all go, yeah, I think so. They maybe scribble it on a little card. If you're really quick, you put it in your iPhone and your calendar, and then next thing you know, 6 months later, you're getting reminded. If you don't show up, it turns out it's a double whammy for them, because they've got a hygienist or someone doing your cleanings and x-rays waiting for you. You don't show up, they didn't fill the appointment. And by the way, they have to get you back again. So that's a rewardable activity, which has huge benefits for them. Now, similarly, if in the process of that, you go through and use your CarePoint for that, and you give them a review afterwards, and you're like, man, I show up and this place is kind of always late and I'm disappointed. Well, they get to see that as well, and it actually helps them kind of manage their own processes and get that feedback pretty quick, perhaps even before you've left the dentist's office, which is great insight. And then over time, those ratings and reviews, if you're actually really excited and happy about it, you can actually give them a post on Facebook or on Yelp or any of those. And a lot of practitioners and small businesses really struggle with these reviews. Either they don't have a ton or they think it's only the negative ones to get up there. So CarePoint actually helps a little bit in that, in not only capturing the rating and reviews, but if you've actually had a pretty good experience and you've engaged with them a couple of times, it'll say, hey, would you actually like to post the review? And it can give you an extra few points for the thanks for doing that.
Dan, can I interrupt? Can I interrupt
sure,
here
go ahead.
And tell you
sure.
an ironic thing? Just this morning, I booked a brand new company that uses artificial intelligence to help predict which patients will show up and which patients won't. So just came across my desk today. So it's a big problem that doesn't really affect this, but I thought it was kind of funny that you hit on another issue, and it's going to happen, that we're going to find better ways of scheduling.
Yeah, yes. Interesting. So we'll look forward to having that person on. If I could go back to our guest for just a moment. You know, it seems to me as I've, just as Don was speaking, I was thinking about this, the thought came across my mind. We think about the, if you think about the amount of time and money that a doctor spends going through the medical process and his undergraduate, graduate, and his internships and all the stuff, residency. Do any of the doctors, doctors by and large, as an aggregate group, have probably very high egos, more than most other professions. Are you getting any pushback that doctors think, what do you mean I have to give reward points? I'm a doctor.
Right. Well, you know, we're about a year into our launch and development, and we made some announcements last week that we've been undergoing a number of pilots and trials, and we've had, you know, great feedback and results. But for sure, there are certain areas or specialties, and I would tell you it probably correlates a little bit with, in the case of what we call the category of providers, doctors, dentists, and things like that. There are a variety of those folks. So if you'll bear with me for a moment, because, again, I think your audience probably has a fair number of those out there, there's a bunch of trends kind of going on. So if you've been a physician, dentist, doctor for, you know, a long time, healthcare is changing quite a bit. You know, some of these folks are really arguably struggling because they're maybe not getting as reimbursed as well, or the paperwork and the bureaucracy seems pretty overwhelming, and just all the different things going on in healthcare is a bit challenging. And so many of them are looking for, you know, kind of new ways or new approaches by which they can focus their business in. Maybe they want to do a little bit more of a kind of a concierge experience, really focus on folks. Dentists have moved to this kind of idea where they get, you know, sort of reimbursed in front, and then the insurance stuff kind of gets taken care of on the back end. So there's just a lot of things going on. Now, I would tell you, younger doctors, as they're coming into the market today, are often coming into a different environment or system than these independent practitioners of some years ago. Many of them go right into a larger healthcare system. Many of our doctors' offices and things are being kind of acquired and merged up into these larger groups. And so many of these doctors are starting to work in almost a more team-based kind of environment. And under that perspective, many of them are younger, a little savvier about things like social media and like, and they recognize that their reputation, their reviews, have a lot to do with their business and how it deals with growing and going forward. And so as you take this kind of certain kinds of doctors, particularly specialists, you know, I'm a heart surgeon, or even the anesthesiologist that helps out with that first fun experience that we talked about, right, the colonoscopy, some of them may or may not be as early adopters or adapters of this. Some, however, are. They figured out in their business they're going after a unique market, or they're really targeting maybe millennials who are very, very, or younger folks who, or the patriarch or matriarch often of the home, who's kind of really driving and owning the consumer spend against healthcare. They target or work with that group. If she's got kids, like your previous guests or other, they're looking for solutions that kind of really appeal to this clientele. And CarePoint really fits very nicely into that niche. So we definitely see many of the more younger ones coming out. We're actually going to spend some time with a couple of med schools as the students go through. I'm speaking at USC, I think, in about a week or two with a doctor group there coming through school. And then that audience is really much more open and interested in kind of some of these newer tools. Now, the last piece I'll just mention, again, probably for your audience, many doctors – of different types have also moved into almost a bit of a retail kind of business, right? There's all of these addition ancillary services that they often offer. So maybe their dentists are doing sleep apnea tests. A lot of physicians are getting into some elective or even cosmetic procedures, whether it's you know, health and wellness or weight loss programs, or even, you know, obviously Botox and the like. So in that side of the business, things like CarePoint are just hitting it out of the park. And it's very compelling to them because it's very much like retail rewards or travel rewards that we're all used to in other parts of our business. So where we see physicians and doctors and dentists and physical therapists and chiropractors in that area, they're finding great interest and success with this kind of program because it really works well with consumers on that side of the equation.
Don, how much time do we have for a break?
You've got a few minutes.
Okay. Let me. I want to talk to you very specifically about a situation to see if this is what you're experiencing. I live on Sanibel Island, Florida, out in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm not there now because of the hurricane, but hopefully I'll go back sometime this week. But my doctor is a physician, relatively young, and in order for him to support his family, he has a practice, a private practice, but he also works in the emergency room at the hospital in Naples. 45-minute drive each way, round trip. And he's in the hospital 3 days a week, and he's during the summer he's got patient hours in his practice in Sanibel Thursdays and Fridays. And I spoke to him recently, and he says, I have to work the two jobs because I got college tuitions to pay and student loans of my own to pay off. And so how would something like what you have, how might that appeal to him?
Sure. I think it's a great question. And again, our best wishes go out to all the folks in Florida, and hopefully your home and family and friends are good there. And he's probably a busy guy right now, I'm guessing, with some things to do. But that said, and to answer your question, it's probably important to recognize CarePoint works really, it's consumer-oriented, but across four segments. So we do what we call providers, so the physicians and doctors we're talking about here, employer programs, which is also important to understand, payers, which can be, you know, insurance companies, everything from Delta Dental to your vision service plan to, of course, your primary health care insurance, and then a large group of partners, and the partners can be anything from spas, gyms, Pilates, massage, healthy food, telehealth, wellness companies, and the like. So the answer specifically to your question is twofold. Number one, in his practice, when he's working on his family practice back in Florida, scheduling, doing the appointments, getting the ratings and reviews, and we have some work we're doing now where, you know, you talked about the artificial intelligence and who's a good consumer. We give you a sense of that as well. So you actually can really see who are the kind of consumers that are really sort of loyal, if you will, and or adaptable. But there's some other features in CarePoint that are pretty cool. For one, we create something for the consumer called a CarePoint Click. A CarePoint Click is the family and ultimately friends or even co-employees around you who are connected to your CarePoint account. So what? Well, when you earn, actually they can earn. So the simple deal is you may refer to them to join or whatever, and you can both get CarePoints for that. But more importantly, as they do the different things that you do, show up for those appointments, do the compliance or follow-up. You know, for instance, your doctor says, I really need you to get you out walking, or you need to maybe take that, whatever, Lipitor, or eat a little healthier, or get 10,000 steps in a day as the AMA recommends. You're getting rewarded for that. But that physician is also now has two or three other customers, if you want to think of it that way, or patients in your family that maybe they didn't have a great reason to come visit him. So now each of the family members also is connected to you, and you can all earn together and share those points. So now I have a daughter, soon to be 14, and had, you know, orthodontia, that's the classic case of having to, you know, spend money twice now for braces. But, you know, there's a lot of compliance that comes with that. And so if you follow up, you do those kinds of things, she actually earns points, and or I do. And you can use your points to also help defer some of the costs there or for these other things. And it's not just that single doctor who's contributing to your care point. I'm also getting them for my gym, my spa, my employer's program. So as each of those folks put some points or funds into that, I can actually use it for the things I care about. And that is what we know drives consumer behavior. I'm much more likely to do the things I probably should do, particularly as a guy in healthcare, if I know that it's actually not just for my own best interest, but frankly benefiting my family. Perhaps it's my mom who's older, and or my daughter, or even my coworkers. If I'm going to let them down and not do our walk this week, and we're all not going to get points for that, I'm much more likely to do it.
Yeah. Do I have time for one more, Don, or we got to take a break?
No, Dan, I was just going to interrupt you to say we're here with Tim Stanley. He's talking about CarePoint, but we first have to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
We're back here with Tim Stanley. He's CEO and founder of CarePoint, POYNT. And Dan, you had a question.
I do. I'm sure we have doctors who are listening to the program right now. And so what I want you to now turn to is to how does a doctor or a dentist or anybody in the medical profession or insurance or whatever, how do they go about availing themselves of your program?
Oh, that's a great question, and thank you for that. Again, interestingly, the little clip that we just listened to on your ad was talking about HSA accounts, and again, that's one of the big shifts going on in healthcare now where consumers are increasingly more responsible for making their decisions and where we think CarePoint plays. So to your question, the easiest thing to do would be to come to the CarePoint website, www.carepoint.com, POYNT, as you said. People can also sign up and check it out. We're just launching. We've got a lot of our pilots and such out on the West Coast now, and Southern California and Nevada coming on and quick. But there's a variety of things they can do today. So you can go to carepoint.com, and you'll see join right there. Try out the program as a consumer. For physicians, for your small business employers, for a variety of other folks, contact us. We've got a great team here. Can chat you through that. We're launching a number of our pilots and programs right now for the providers and for employers. And we'd love to talk about how we're putting this together. Again, being it's consumer-oriented, we try to make it very simple and easy, not only for the consumer use, but for the small business, because most people just do not have one more thing they want to put on their plate or somebody to manage and administer all this. So we make it very simple for the front office staff, the physician, to kind of put this in place and help them manage it.
Let me go back
and or give us a call.
Okay, let me go back to your opening statement in this segment and the commercial with HSAs. Again, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Are you saying that there might be a way to use your program with HSA?
For sure. So the sort of two big trends are obviously health savings accounts have been around for a number of years and are increasingly being promoted within small, medium companies. And secondly is many employers, in fact, my previous one at a venture capital firm up in Silicon Valley actually contributed significantly into that program for me to use against a variety of my expenses. And so as employers are doing that kind of thing, they might augment or put points in your CarePoint account to help you do the kinds of activities you need. There's a lot of data and research that tells us that some of these workplace wellness programs or health programs can help change behavior. I come back for anybody who's a Apple Watch or a fan of Fitbit in particular I use. You know, if you don't get that 10,000 steps a day, you feel a little guilty, right? You're kind of there. So there's a variety of programs that we can implement, including that, where you actually get your care points for completing those kinds of activities and tasks. And that can be done through or over the top of your health services plan or contribution from your employer for workplace wellness. We also do things like go get the engineers to walk around with the marketing folks once a week or have lunch. I mean, there's all kinds of programs you can put in place to not just drive healthy outcomes, but actually better collaboration, communication, things like that. And those can be funded through these workplace wellness programs with some pretty good outputs. So that's exactly what CarePoint was designed to do. And then you as a consumer can choose to apply that towards perhaps a deductible or out-of-pocket payment telehealth visit, which helps reduce absenteeism and having to go wait at the doctor's office when you can actually maybe do that for a $30 or $50, phone call or telehealth visit, and use care points for those kinds of things. And that's, we think, a huge benefit, not only to the providers, but to your employer and the consumer itself.
So a way to merge the points with my American Express Rewards program?
We will actually allow a feature like that in the future. So today, care points are care points, but you can actually transfer them out and use them for a variety of different external programs and cards. We've got relationships with Nike and CVS Select, where you can actually use it for your drugstore purchases, for Freshly, where you can actually buy and have healthy food delivered. I use it myself and love it. And on and on and on. So we actually are working very much on exactly that ability to transfer points in and out of your Amex program and other reward programs as well. We'll probably offer that, if not before the end of the year, at the beginning of the year.
Tim, can I jump in and ask a question?
Sure.
Which is, I'm listening, and do people really choose a doctor by points, or is it not by referral? And by knowing someone else, and where does your program fit into such a scenario?
Yeah. Oh, it's a great question. Thank you for that too. But how people actually pick a physician, as we know, comes from a variety of ways. But historically, it might be a friend or a family member says, "I know Dr. So and So, and she or he is just great." And of course, that still happens. Increasingly, people go on to, about 60-70% of Americans get their insurance through their employer. And so now you have this network and you're like, oh boy, is my doctor, I need so-and-so, I'm going to have a, baby, I need someone to help us with that, or I want to pick a dentist, who's covered in my plan? And so a lot of times you go in through sort of the insurance company in search, and that's, kind of challenging and painful. Increasingly, one of the newer ways is there's services like ZocDoc and things that are they're kind of like open table. Like booking your restaurant, you go out and actually search for a doctor, and you can pick by a zip code. You can look at their ratings and reviews and the like. Increasingly, and particularly for younger folks or you've just moved into an area, that's a very common way to do it. In all of those cases, one of the things we think will occur over a period of time is you'll say, geez, well, what's this CarePoint thing, and who's you'll go to the CarePoint site, who's all available in the CarePoint network to do that? And given a choice, I can see ratings and reviews. I see this doctor's great. They're in my area. Other people seem to like them, and they give CarePoints. Boom, that's the person that I perhaps want to work with. And out of that, we think that's going to be the way of the future here.
Well, I'd like to just continue on. What is becoming increasingly competitive in this world is our urgent cares in this world, where you are you involved with that, and do you see chains offering points to use them?
We do, and we've met with a number of these folks, and I've got maybe two interesting learnings. There's probably way more than that, but urgent care for many of the things that ail us are great, choices to kind of pop in. It can be through the drugstore. I've used CVS myself, and Instant Clinic and others. And then, of course, hospitals are even doing the urgent care deal for uninsured or underinsured or just urgent things. So we definitely think that's a great opportunity. Some of the urgent care centers will tell you they're kind of in business world what's called lost leaders. And some of them are real challenged because you got to staff a thing and, you don't necessarily know when people are coming in. One of the trends that we think is really compelling and is still in its early stages is telehealth. So being able to kind of quickly log on, do a lot of the similar things you might do with an urgent care, just consult with a physician, I'm not feeling well here, or gosh, I just need a prescription refilled, and a lot of things like that are part of it, or your kids. You can do it right from work, you can do it from your mobile phone, you can do it late at night, I've done it myself. We think that's actually a big area where it's going, and so we've got some providers that do some telehealth. They may have an urgent care center, and then they've got their primary practice, and they're actually beginning to kind of spread their availability out across all three. And that, I think, is probably, again, a sign of the future.
Dan, you get to ask the last question.
I'm just sitting here listening to the conversation with you and Don, and I'm saying to myself, this has got to be revolutionary. I mean, the idea that we're going to have a rewards program that we can get points to help pay for prescriptions or medical products, and also get points from our doctor as opposed to having giving points to our doctor. I think it's a fascinating concept, and I thank you for joining us today and answering our questions. And give us that website one more time, please.
Absolutely. www.carepoint.com. It's P-O-Y-N-T. And if you go on there, you'll see a link. You can join for free. Check us out and grow with us as we hopefully take the world by storm the rest of the year here. Thank you.
I'm going to have my doctor contact you. Thank you again.
John? I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now a word from our tip of the day.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Have you ever worked really hard to land an order only to find out that you lost it? There are times where we really want an order from a prospective client, and then you find out after all your hard work, the order went to a competitor. We learn wisdom from our failures much more than from our successes. It still hurts to lose the order, but losing an order teaches us a great deal about what kind of business person we really are. So here's your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. When you find out that you lost the order, don't send an email. Send a letter to the head of the business unit that placed the order. Tell that person that you are disappointed that you didn't get the order, but that you'll work even harder to get the next one. Ask him to tell you what you can do so the next time the order's in play, you can win it. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz small business tip of the day.
Life, it's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Well, Dan, we're coming to the end of the program, but I want to leave time because I have to tell you of an extraordinary thing that happened to me yesterday. We went to, and I'm going to name the company because to Lowe's to buy some paint. And we were waiting at the paint counter, and we waited 10 minutes at the paint counter. And finally, the guy rolls by. And he's got another guy in tow, and they've got a pallet of water. And he said to us, wait, I have to go help him load this water before I can take care of you. So naturally, at that point, I walked out and went next door to the Home Depot. But you know what? Customer service is still the number one reason for a sale and to lose a sale. And I just could not resist not saying something about it on today's program.
Well, we've talked about this before, is that the big box stores have lost their focus. That's why they're closing. That's why customers are going other places. They're going to the Internet because clearly customer service is number one on the Internet.
If you get someone in there to your store and you don't take care of them, you're kind of dead. But anyway, mm-hmm. We have just enough time to say goodbye today because we're reaching the end of the hour.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that if you missed part of the show today, you can go to recalculating.biz and you can listen to this show and you can listen to previous shows if you missed them. And recalculating.biz and look for previous broadcasts, and you'll be able to catch up. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.